And so I'm just me now. And it feels amazing. Like I've never experienced this freedom before. And it's finally, as I say, you know, taking off the fear, the doubt, and the insecurity and living into and fully embracing who you are for me in Christ, who you are as to who God made you. And that is when life becomes really great. And so to your point, when the sales aren't coming, when you don't have, you know, people on your calendar, I don't worry at all.
Welcome to Life After Corporate, your ultimate guide for making the leap from corporate leader to entrepreneur. I'm Deb Boulanger, entrepreneur, executive leader, and founder of the Launch Lab for Women Entrepreneurs. This is your time to break through the glass ceiling once and for all and get your ticket to the C-suite. Come back each week to get the leading strategies, advice, and tools that will give you the skills and confidence you need to replace your corporate paycheck. Are you ready? Let's go.
Welcome back to another episode of Life After Corporate, my friend. And if you're new to our show, welcome home. This is where you get the real story about what it takes to build and grow and scale a successful service-based business. And today I have a very special guest to share with you. Her name is Judy Weber. She's a scaling expert and business strategist for successful women who come to her to scale their revenue and multiply their impact. And Judy and I met recently in a mastermind community. We immediately connected. I got to be a guest on her podcast, which was so special. And we started talking about the role of faith in entrepreneurship. And so today we want to open up the discussion of the journey of the faith-based entrepreneur. So Judy, welcome to Life After Corporate.
Thank you, Deb. And I certainly had years in corporate. So I love your podcast. Thank you so much for having me here.
Tell us a little bit about that. You know, what brought you to entrepreneurship and what did you do before you got here?
Okay. So before corporate, I was in pseudo corporate as a lawyer. You know, I think corporate and law firms, they're similar, but they're different. You know, I always think like my sister, my twin sister was in corporate, and we just talk about how things work because she was in upper level management. Of course, as an associate attorney in a firm, you're kind of higher up. And, you know, she's like, gosh, law firms are so behind. You're like a decade behind. And I'm like, well, that's how we go slow, you know. But anyway, so I graduated from Villanova Law in 1995 and got a really great job in a Philadelphia area law firm. It was very, it was intense. I didn't expect it to be what it was. And I don't want to ever be on the negative, but the fact is there was discrimination that I didn't expect. In fact, when I graduated from law school, my mom said, Judy, be careful. It's a man's world. And I said, Mom, it's 1995. Like, you're crazy. I thought she didn't know anything. Well, she's very wise. And so it didn't take long for me to see how women were treated differently. And, you know, I remember sitting in a meeting with some heavy hitter partners, and I'm brand new to the firm, you know, but I'm listening and I'm smart and I want to contribute, you know? So I'm listening and I'm like, ooh, I had gut reactions to things, but I didn't say it because I was new, because I was afraid. But meanwhile, some guy over there said it and he got all the kudos. I'm like, crap. Okay. The next time I have this inspiration, I'm going to, you know, say it. But I was young and I didn't. So anyway, so that was that. I got pregnant my first year as a lawyer, and I had three beautiful boys. After that, I left the practice of law to stay home. Well, it didn't take long, Deb. We're cut from the same cloth.
Yeah, we are.
I can't sit still. I love my boys, and it's super hard work. No doubt about it. It was the hardest work I ever did. But I felt like I needed to do something else. So I started my first business as an interior decorator when my kids were 2, 4, and almost 7. So as you can see, and I was staying at home. So like, I didn't have nannies. We weren't that kind of people, but I was really good at marketing. And when I launched my business, I was super strategic on what I was going to do of getting clients. So interior decorator, let's do a home show. Let's get a booth at a home show. I was strategic in how I was going to draw people into my booth. We can get into that if you want to, but I left the weekend with 14 appointments. After those appointments, I had 10 clients. Then it was like, wow. Oh my God, how am I gonna service 10 clients?
You're an entrepreneur, girl.
Yeah. I love the freedom. I love the fact that there is no ceiling. You can set your own thing, right? You can do it your own way. But anyway, so years later, I left that and I went back to the law because I got divorced and all kinds of just life stuff, right? So years after that, then I was now, when I re-entered the law, I was a medical malpractice defense attorney that was very intense in the courtroom in Philadelphia, one of the toughest venues in the nation for litigation. Lots of corruption there. That's not nonsense. That's true. I've seen it. I could wrinkle your toes with stories. But anyway, so what happened was I met a guy and I remarried and I was happy doing litigation. I was good at it. And I love the sophistication of the work. But my new husband's friend had a business, a very successful business, international business with places all over the US, Canada, and elsewhere. And he's like, my general counsel is just died and I need somebody amazing. And do you want the job?
Wow.
It's crazy. I'm like, okay, I've never been in-house before. What are you talking about? And he's like, I need a general counsel. I need a director of HR. And I don't know. I like Stu. I've known him all my life. He's a smart guy. I imagine you're smart. You graduated from Nova. So you ready? I'm like, okay. So long story short, I worked there for a couple of years, but it was tough. I loved everybody there, but the boss, he was a jerk. He really was. He was the one person when I left and gave my notice, he was the one person that didn't wish me well. He just acted like I didn't exist, you know? So he was a stereotypical a-hole. Sorry, but he was. So, I left there to start an online coaching business with my twin sister. And if you want to interrupt at any point, feel free. But a long story short there, this is my twin sister, Deb. This is like my best friend since like before birth. And if anybody would have said that we can't work together, I would have said they're nuts. But in 2 years, we realized about a year and a half, we realized we can't. We do business differently. So we parted ways. So the summer of 2019, I spent the summer on the couch with my Bible and a notebook and a piece of paper. And I was praying, Lord, what do I do? At that point, we were working exclusively with real estate brokers, women, real estate brokers and agents. And I thought, should I stay in that and compete against my sister, which I'm fine with, but it just felt a little bit funny.
Were you both interior designers at that point?
Oh, no, we were both coaches for real estate agents.
And brokers. Coaches for real estate agents.
Yeah, yeah. So, and she had this superstar team. She had like $1 million real estate team in Virginia. And I always dabbled in real estate. It was always part-time. Either I was a full-time mom and a part-time agent, or a full-time lawyer and a part-time agent. You know, we got lots of energy, right, Deb? So, you know, we got to fill our time. So anyway, in that summer, I heard very strongly God say, you know, don't just work with real estate, expand, but focus on Christian women. I felt that very strongly in my spirit. And so I've loved Jesus all my life. And so I'm like, okay. So, I mean, I can tell you, I timidly stepped into that because I just felt like, not that I wanted to serve more people. I was okay with that. But somehow my corporate side, the go-getter side and the Christianness, it took some time for me to see how that is all me and I can go bold on both.
Yeah, that's so important. You know, we're not meant to shrink back. We're meant to shine. Mm-hmm. And I want to dive into this journey of faith and belief in God and entrepreneurship. Because it's inevitable that our humanness and our ego is going to get in the way. It's like, you know, yes, you've given me direction. Okay, God, yes, I'm following you. And, but I want to be in control. I want to see the road ahead really clearly about like, what am I going to get if I follow this path? And so that's where faith comes in, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. That's where faith and belief. So I'd love to hear from you. Like, how did that evolve for you? You know, what are some of the, did you have strife that you had to overcome and release and surrender in faith?
Yes. I love talking about faith and business because everything I do is founded in Christ. So I'll start out with this. The number one success metric in business or life, really, certainly in business to get to seven figures is faith. Now, I know there are people out there who don't have faith in Christ, But here's what I know. Anybody that's made it, they have faith in something, mm-hmm. whether it's the universe, whether it's themselves. You need that deep faith. And to me, faith, and Hebrews 11:1 says it, faith is like this deep knowing and believing before you see evidence of it. So, you know, anybody that opens up a business as an entrepreneur, they've got to be faith filled. And I say faith fueled, because you're opening this business that doesn't exist. Nobody knows who you are. We all start from zero. So if you don't have a confidence in your capabilities and in the fact that you can help people and serve them, you might as well, why bother? You know, you really have to have that firm belief.
Yeah. And sometimes we need to borrow belief.
Yes.
Right. Sometimes when we first start out, we don't have belief.
Yeah. Let's talk about that for a second, because as coaches, you and I, we know that, you know, I tell my clients all the time, borrow my belief. Like, do you see how passionate I am about your business? Okay. And I don't just do this for everybody. You know, I'm very selective with my clients, especially in my mastermind. I turned away 6 clients. This is a new mastermind I just started at the end of last year. I turned away 6 clients, multi-six figures, and it's the best thing I ever did. Because last week, I'm very selective. Last week, my masterminders, those that made the cut, they came with me in Charleston, and we had a couple of days of roll up our sleeves, get work done. They are the best clients I've ever had. They're getting the best results. And so anyone out there that's, oh, I'm afraid to be selective. I'm afraid. You know, when you finally surrender the fear and the doubt and the insecurity and just go all in on who God made you to be and believe, oh my goodness, it's insane, the results.
Right. And that's what we're doing too. We're borrowing belief from God, right? It's about, you know, showing up even when it feels uncomfortable, right? So recently, I went live 5 days in a row, and I'm just kind of introverted. I'm shy by nature. I was an only child for like 8 years before my brother came along, and I am perfectly fine entertaining myself. I don't need to like be online or have people look at me. I like being alone. I'm one of those people. And so I have to borrow belief from God in order to, you know, okay, you really want me to expand my presence. You want me to reach more people. You want me to impact more people, help more women be financially free by earning as much money as they want. Then I have to show up. So that's how faith stretches me into borrowing belief too, even at this stage of growth in my entrepreneurship. Mm. And it has all been the last 3 years has been a journey of learning what faith means. And that even when, you know, there's no prospects on my calendar, you know, we've all been through those places of feast or famine.
Yep.
Of, okay, I'm open for a miracle. Just like, show me the way. I know everything's going to be okay. I mean, faith eliminates worry.
Mm. Yes. I love that. Faith. Perfect love casts out fear, and perfect love is the love of the Father to us, right? Like, we can't perfectly love this side of heaven, but He does. And so when we embrace that, that is when we have the guts to go big. And to your point, you know, it's funny, I'm an extrovert. So I love being the center. My twin sister and I, we were like, we love being the center of attention. But you know what's funny? Until very recently, I did not feel comfortable at face-to-face, one-on-one type networking situations. Mm-hmm. I don't know why I felt put upon. Like, put me on a stage of 10,000, and I'm actually very comfortable with that. But put me on a one-to-one, it just felt a little funny. And only recently, in the last month, have I identified why. Because at the age of 56, Deb, I have never been more me. I am goofy. I'm super smart, super logical, but I'm super goofy and I love to have fun. And so I'm just me now. And it feels amazing. Like I've never experienced this freedom before. And it's finally, as I say, you know, taking off the fear, the doubt, and the insecurity, and living into and fully embracing who you are, for me, in Christ, who you are as to who God made you. And that is when life becomes really great. And so to your point, when the sales aren't coming, when you don't have, you know, people on your calendar, I don't worry at all. I don't worry. He's come through time and time and time again. And I know that He right now is doing His thing in priming people for me, in priming people for you. Each of us has clients that He has hand selected for us already, but we get in our own way when we don't show up, when we don't be bold, and speak our message and the value that we bring. I mean, that's ginormous.
It is ginormous. And and there's a reason why we're having this conversation here today. And there's a reason why you, as our listeners, are listening to this conversation today. And it's so you too can be bold, be brave, and release fear and insecurity and doubt about your future by embracing faith that you're here for a reason. And there's something bigger than you operating here. Like you said, Judy, whether you call it God, Christ, the universe, whatever it is, you need to have faith in something bigger than you. Mm-hmm. Judy, I would love to hear about how you're working with your clients and maybe some of the great experiences that clients are having working with you, borrowing, you know, your belief in them and what are they able to achieve? And just tell us how you operate.
Oh, you're so sweet. Well, thank you for that opportunity. I will say this, a major life mantra for me is pursue the impossible. Because as I look back at my life, I come from nothing. I say that I came from a very loving family who knew the Lord. That's all I needed. And I never felt poor until I got to college. Then I realized, yikes, what? You have what? Oh, you have air conditioning in your house or your car? We didn't have that. You know, what's that? So, you know, but I realized as I look back, this little girl from nowhere with these big dreams, that's me. I've been doing the impossible only because I am following in the way God is leading me and I'm stepping up and doing scary things all the time. And so I instill that in my ladies. I only work with Christian women. And so we talk about Christ and we refer to the Bible, and that is a foundational element of my work. And we see him move. And so I'm saying, hey, ladies, don't say you can't do video. Why can't you? Oh, I don't like the way I look. Neither do I. Hello, who cares? I mean, that's not the point. Get over it. And so that may sound harsh, but the fact of the matter is entrepreneurship requires you to be bold and to step out. And if you don't want to do that, then save yourself time and money and go do something else, right? You got to step into that. So I work right now, I'm focusing on my mastermind, which is my higher end clients. My clients come to me making at least six figures. A couple of my clients are making $200,000, $300,000, $400,000. They've got big dreams. They want to get to that seven figure mark. So in this container, I call it my Joyful Scaling Mastermind. And so briefly, I'll tell you, there's three simple steps to scaling, and it's the acronym JOY. Because if you can't be joyful in your work, why the heck are you doing it? So J is jumpstart. And so we really take a step back in order to really move forward in an accelerated way. So we're looking at two things primarily, your marketing strategy and your sales strategy. And we go deep because within marketing, you got branding, you got messaging, positioning, visibility, all of that. But we nail all of that, the marketing, and then we nail your sales. Sales is a big thing for Christian women. Okay. So let me just tell you a quick story. Okay. I think it'll make you smile. I have a friend who is Jewish, and we were talking one day about the hangups that so many women have with money and with charging. And she laughed and she goes, cause I mentioned something about, you know, we Christian women have to overcome this wrong scripture that we've been told as kids that money is the root of evil. But it's the love of money. It's putting money above God. That's the issue. That's the evil. And she goes, wait a minute. So you're taught that money is a bad thing? She goes, as a Jewish little girl, I was taught, go get it. Go get the money. There's no hesitation there. We were laughing so hard. But, you know, so the idea there is the sales strategy. Like, do you know that there's a strategy beyond sales? And by the way, it's not about a script. It's not about magic words. It's not about, you know, manipulation in any way or convincing. It's really just about service. And right. I know your people probably have heard that, but it's really true. And sometimes you have to go to the work to have the capacity to understand what in the world that sound easy principle of sales as service really means. But that's the J, the jumpstart, marketing and sales strategy. When you got your strategy down, then you're ready for the second step, O, for optimize. And here we look at your systems, your KPIs, your processes, your workflows. Then we look at team. Do you have a team? I mean, I focus on a sophisticatedly simple business. And so I draw in clients looking for that. We're not looking to build empires and have dozens and dozens. That's like tons of overhead and I don't need the headache. God bless if that's you. I can help you, but I love helping you design a business that is sophisticatedly simple. So that's where we look at in the way of processes and team. who do you really need? What roles do you really need to be filled? And then the third piece of that is automation. What do you have right now that's automated? What maybe could we add to make everything more efficient? So that's the O. And then the last part is why, for yield. What is your business yielding? And not just in the way of dollars, like in the way of revenue or profit, which is important, but also how about client results? How about testimonials? How about a referral or ambassador program? You know, what do you have to, or what is your system to constantly make your clients get better results and faster results? Because that delivery aspect and the tracking the numbers and not just the dollars, again, that is what's going to fuel your business and sustain it long term.
Yeah. And, you know, we love to geek out on the analytics of things too. I mean, you being a lawyer, you know, highly analytical field, like, you know, looking for arguments and things like that. I worked with industry analysts for 25 years or so. And so having that analytical capability and looking at your metrics, looking at your numbers, and really dialing in simplicity, you know, what works for you, what's working for your clients, what works for your lifestyle. And I love the joy framework as well. It's like, you know, bringing joy into your business, bring joy into your life. And here are the three easy steps for bringing joy in. Mm-hmm. Love that.
I love mental gymnastics. As a lawyer, I was good in the courtroom, but I really was great at writing briefs on appeal. And the partners would give me a case that was a loser, and they'd know that I would dig and find the hook that would give us a way to win and to write that. So I can do complex, but that's where I feel like you need to be able to understand the complex in order to make it super simple and doable. And that's by God's grace.
Yeah, absolutely. So where do your clients frequently get hung up? You know, I know sometimes it's, you know, we talked about the visibility piece and doing what it takes. What are some of the other areas that your clients get hung up with, and how do you help them out with that?
You know what? I would say mindset all day long. And that is it means so many different things to so many different people. But I have worked with a mindset coach in the past 6 months. I'm a different person today because of her.
Wow.
Yeah. I live differently. I think differently. I act differently. It's truly from mindset. And what I mean by that is I manage my mind. I'm very aware of my thoughts, because we think that our actions generate the results. But in fact, that's not true. And I can prove that, because how many women out there listening, trying to build their business, are working nonstop, but they're not getting the results they want. So what it comes down to is your thoughts. Your thoughts will produce your results. And when you go deep on that, I'll give you just one quick example. So one of my clients, they often say, I don't know, or I don't know how. It's always that. They want the how. I don't know how. And so I'm like, okay, well, you don't know how. That's actually a lie. And they look at me like, what? That's a lie? I said, yeah. So how do I know it's a lie? Because God is a God of order. He called you to this. He promised to equip you. So you know everything you need to know right now. You just don't know that you know it. So there's a whole process that I go through. I call it the faith-fueled thought model. I'm not going to get into that here. It's too much there. But the point is, you have to look at your thoughts and identify the lie. Okay. Yes. If it doesn't serve you, it's a lie. And so you say, okay, how do I'm not one where I say, okay, now say humana, 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 and say, I do know, and you'll know. No, that's baloney too.
It's not magic.
Yeah. It's like, okay, I'm going to repeat I'm beautiful, and all of a sudden I'm going to look different in the mirror or something. But what you do is you look at your experience and look at the past client results, and you say, what do I know? What have I done? And then with that thought that I know enough, that's a really good thought. It may sound like not enough, but that's a great thought, because with that and with you being looking at all these results I've already gotten and all that I've done, and you say goodbye to the competition, don't even pay attention to them. And what you do is you look at your accomplishments and you say, wow, okay, I do know. Now, what am I going to do next? I'm not going to have to look at Judy or Deb or some guru out there to tell me the how. I'm smart. I'm going to use my brain that God gave me, and I'm going to figure it out. So the power of thought is huge.
Huge. And don't believe anything you think, because it's all the time. It was like, I'm a big fan of Byron Katie. And I've been doing the work for a long time, which is the work on questioning your thoughts. You know, is it true? Can I be sure it's true? What happens to me when I believe that thought? Does it bring peace or does it bring stress? And turning the thought around and saying, you know, is the opposite equally, if not more true? And so, you know, even from a very logical perspective, you can break down your thinking. But I love the power of intentions, too. So I like to play with that. I started playing it with it with, you know, parking spaces. And it was also how an easy way to like test out my faith. I know this is going to sound really silly, but I trusted that whenever I went to Main Street in town, I live in a resort community. So this is like parking spaces are like super hard to come by. That there was always a space for me right in front of where I was going. And I started really believing that all the time. And in fact, now when my partner gets in the car with me, he was like, I need to take you everywhere because wherever we go, there's always a space. He said, I'll just take you with me and then you can Uber home. So I started applying, and this is going to sound super silly, but I started applying that same faith in parking spaces that it was always going to be there. I extended that to my bank account, and now I extend it to even when I'm doing webinars or launches, I'll say, well, you know, my intention is that 100 people sign up for this, or that 50 people show up for this webinar. And what I have found is inevitably, without fail, my intentions have become the reality of the day. And I, you know, I don't know if this is common in your experience, but I think it's our own lack of belief and fear. If I was fearful of, oh, I'm afraid not enough people are going to sign up for this, or what if no one signs up, then you're putting yourself in a place of struggle and strife and failing before you even start. So
I totally agree. And I've seen it in myself. And I laugh because I do that same thing with the parking.
Nothing else. Everyone who listens to this podcast today is going to start believing there's a parking place for them wherever they go.
Yeah. Well, you have 100%. Mine's not at 100%. Mine's like 80, 70, 80%. But it's still good because my husband's like, where are you going? I'm like, hon, there's got to be a spot up there. So just hang on. We're going to find it. But you know, just another example about intention and the power of thoughts. When I was working with some clients just last week, we were talking about email, and that was the circumstance. And they said, you know, it just takes too long for me to write my copy. And I said, well, I wonder why that is. Like, what are you thinking when you think email? And they go, it's hard. I don't know what to say. Nobody's going to read it anyway. I said, oh my God, they're horrible thoughts. Why are you thinking that? Like, that's horrible. And then anyway, went through my thought model process. And the thought that came out of that work was, my people can't wait to read my emails.
Wow.
What a beautiful thought. I said, that's a $100,000 thought. And it may even be a $1 million thought. Stick with that. Because when you have that thought, my people, not everybody, but my people, the ones I care about, can't wait to get my emails. Wow. How motivating is that for you to hit the fingers to the keyboard and say, wow, I'm going to serve them up something good today.
You know, wow, Judy. It's the
power of thoughts.
You know, I can't wait to meet you in person.
Me too. I love New York. Great fun.
I love you. I feel like we could like riff on this all day because we both kind of geek out on frameworks and putting things into easy to understand step-by-step processes that get real results. And we're focused on similar areas. And I know when you interviewed me for your podcast that, you know, it might seem odd that we're interviewing another business scaling coach. But the truth is that there's someone for everyone. And, you know, for those of you who feel you're listening to this, Judy is your coach. Go reach out to Judy. I mean, really, I think the most important thing, Judy and I both mentioned we have coaches. You know, we get coached all the time. I think this journey to expansion, this journey to fulfilling your true destiny, to fulfilling your divine assignment means that we have to work to get our own shit out of the way, right? So that it can actually happen. And the way we do that is through coaches, mindset coaches or coaches that teach us different skills or habits that will get us the results that we're looking for. So Judy, to that end, first of all, this has been such a joy. This conversation has made me laugh. It's made me cry. I've got tears in my eyes.
Oh, I love you, Deb.
I love you too. It's given me some chills. How do people get in touch with you? And is there anything that folks can opt into or download if they want to learn more?
Well, thank you for that opportunity. I am at Judy Weber Co., at Judy Weber Co. everywhere. I encourage you to download my ultimate scaling guide for proven strategies for accelerated growth in your business. You can go to my website, judyweber.co, judyweber.co, and you can download that for free. And really, I am the type of person, and you know this, Deb, and I think the ladies can hear it. I really want to connect. I'm not just one of these to get followers and connectors or whatever. I am everywhere, LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram. It is me that is answering in the DMs. I would never let my team do that. I'm not building an empire. So yes, please do reach out. And thank you again, Deb, for this wonderful opportunity.
It's been a great conversation. And we'll have to talk offline how we can make something happen in person, or maybe even a collaborative event. How fun would that be?
I like
it. That's kind of an idea. With that, we're going to end this episode. Thank you for listening, my friend. Till next time.
Thanks for listening, my friend. If you enjoyed this show, please head over to iTunes and subscribe and leave us a review. And be sure to hop over to the Life After Corporate Facebook group and join other growing entrepreneurs to get weekly tips on how to create more money and meaning doing work you love.